Welcome to Bariatricare Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Connie Stapleton. This is episode 170, The Disease of Obesity and Your Food Choices. Do you believe that having the disease of obesity lets you off the hook for making unhealthy food choices? Is what you choose to eat even related to the disease of obesity? Does knowing that obesity is considered to be a chronic disease relieve you of all personal responsibility for assisting in the treatment of the disease? What about other chronic diseases? Aren't most people advised to eat healthy foods and exercise as a way to help manage diseases such as hypertension, diabetes, heart disease, and other chronic diseases? Having the disease of obesity is not related to personal responsibility in many ways, to include genetics, neurotransmitters, biological hormones, and other factors. Yet, there are many ways that taking personal responsibility in a variety of ways can effectively help manage the disease of obesity. Are you willing to put forth the effort in those areas? Remember, you are responsible for the effort you put into whatever you do, but not necessarily the outcome. Let's get started with this week's episode. Hello, my bariatric friends. This week's podcast topic follows perfectly from last week's, and I didn't plan it at all. This just came up organically. So what we're going to talk about in this episode is the disease of obesity and your food choices. We're going to talk about, are these things really related? And I think you'll be interested in what the answer to that question is. I'm also going to highlight the history of obesity having been designated as a disease. That was interesting too, in my mind. And then review very briefly the factors and causes of the disease of obesity. And we're going to focus in on the critical nature of personal choices when it comes to what you decide to eat. And are those related to the disease process or not? Do you know the answer ahead of time? I don't know. Well, here's how this topic came about for me. I was talking to a group of bariatric patients last week, and we were talking about the Oprah special on the GLPs, and everybody was kind of sharing their ideas of what she covered and what they thought about the content and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I said, I think she covered all the things that are in the news about the GLPs right now, in terms of, you know, the cost and the availability and the use for diabetes and, you know, how people are losing weight with it and yet there are side effects and you have to, regardless, follow through with a healthy lifestyle. And that was the thing to me that she said was most important. A lot of people think that this was about, I don't know, promoting the manufacturers or the pharmaceutical companies. I don't know. I don't care about any of that, honestly. What I liked that she said and what I believe wholeheartedly, and hopefully you've picked up on that if you've been listening to any of these episodes, is that regardless of how a person loses weight, a person has to develop a healthy lifestyle in order to maintain the weight loss. So if there's not a healthy lifestyle associated with whatever method one uses to lose the weight, regain is a probability, not a possibility. It's a probability. And I liked that she mentioned that. So we were talking about this, and one of the women said that she was glad that they talked about obesity as being a disease because for her, it helped her It helped her feel better about the fact, she said, that maybe other people can understand what's been going on in her head for a long time. And something clicked for me when she said that. And I asked the group that I was talking to, I said, well, when you think about the disease of obesity, and it's a chronic disease, and we'll talk about that definition. The chronic disease of obesity is what you're glad she said related to the disease itself, or are you relaying it in your mind to the foods that you put in your mouth? Because I'm not sure the two are inextricably linked. May or may not be true, but that's what I said. And we'll find out because I did some research. So I said, the disease of obesity is a chronic disease, metabolic in nature, et cetera, et cetera. There are a lot of aspects. We'll talk about those. But are you saying that you want people to understand why the food choices you make have been primarily unhealthy? Because I'm not sure that those two things are, like, I don't think the disease necessarily is responsible for what you put into your mouth. So that's where the whole thing got started. And so I thought, you know what? This would be a really good podcast topic. And I need to get some clarification too, because I'm thinking, you know, you're not responsible for having the disease of obesity in many ways, right? But you are responsible for what goes into your mouth. But is there a connection? So I'll tell you what I found out. And there are clearly things related. And I've said this forever, and you know this too. There are things related to the disease of obesity that people don't have control over. You're not responsible for those things, and you can't change them. So, given that that's true, I also think that the disease of obesity is not a reason to, and I'm not saying people do this, but some people do, to claim helplessness. In other words, oh my goodness, because I have this disease, there's nothing I can do. But that's not true, right? Because even though you may have the disease of obesity, there are a lot of things you can do to mitigate some, not the things you can't control, the things you can't influence, but some of the weight that you put on or take off, mainly in regard to what you eat and whether or not you exercise, right? So there are things that you can do. But then the question sort of becomes one of, do you have the skills to do the things that can make a difference, given that you have a disease? And another question is, are you willing to do what it takes so that you can have the healthiest weight possible for your body? So you have a disease. That's a given. Sometimes it's frustrating to me when physicians say to a patient, it's not your fault. Or if they say to me with my disease of addiction, another chronic disease, gee, Connie, it's not your fault. And while that is true, in some regards, my fear is that people will hear, well, what are you going to do about it? You might as well just drink. You might as well just gamble. You might as well just eat. You know, you might as well, you can't help it. You didn't cause this. You're not responsible for it, blah, blah, blah. That's my fear, because so many times we hear what we want to hear. And if we hear, well, it's not my fault, and what we want to hear is there's nothing you can do about it anyway, does that send some people, you know, to the bottle or to the craps table? Or it's like, well, what am I supposed to do? I can't help it. That's always a frustration for me. So I think there has to be a balance. And I mentioned this in the last podcast, a balance between saying you're not fully responsible for having the disease. You know, in many ways, you are not responsible at all for having the disease, but you are 100% responsible for taking ownership of the things that you can do. So there are a lot of reasons that I'm going to go over today. Remind you, you know, we talked about this goal weight thing in the last episode, and it's kind of funny because it's almost like, in some ways, now listen to this carefully and think about this. It's almost like people want to have it both ways. So you have this disease that you didn't cause, right? You didn't cause the disease of obesity. It's genetic, it's complicated, it's biological, all of those things. So you can't fully overcome those things, right? There are some things that you can manage and control and take responsibility for, but you have this disease, which is always going to be fighting against you in some ways. So we have this disease. And so we're like, on one hand, it's like, well, you know, it's difficult for me because I have this disease. That's true, indisputable, and I agree with that. But on the other hand, we get all upset because that same disease, that there are things you can't influence and you can't control and that work against you, but you want to get down to some goal weight. So you have this disease that's working against you to lose weight, which in one sense you can use to say, well, you know, I have this disease, so I'm not going to get down to a size 2 or 4 or 6 or 8. But on the other hand, you have surgery and then all of a sudden you want to be a size 2, 4, 6, or 8. It can't work both ways. You have a disease and it's going to be working against you your entire life. And yet you expect, given the fact that you, even though you have this disease, that you can overcome it to some ridiculously unrealistic goal weight. We're going to come back to that. Maybe that doesn't make sense at this point in time. And maybe I'm not explaining myself clearly, but let's go through the history of obesity being designated as a disease. So when I first started in this field, which was the early 2000s, and I was going to speak at a conference like a professional conference. So I started doing my research to put my talk together, and I looked up the disease of obesity and I could find nothing online. I'd Google disease of obesity, nothing, 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 nothing. So I was new into this world. I had been in the world of addiction and recovery, but I was fairly new into the world of obesity. And at that point in time, in the early 2000s, obesity had not been designated to be a disease. It was not called a disease. And interestingly, because I come from a background of addiction and recovery, alcoholism was designated by the American Medical Association to be a disease, I think it was like 1956. So many, many, many years ago, it was determined by the American Medical Association that alcoholism was a disease. Addiction is a disease. But it wasn't until, hold on to your seatbelt here, 2013. So we're talking 11 years ago that the American Medical Association designated obesity a disease. So the idea that obesity is caused by insufficient willpower, which people used to think, right, or a lack of discipline or bad choices, kind of began to shift, fortunately, and thank goodness, because it's just like addiction. People look at it as thinking, you know, this person lacks discipline, they lack willpower, oh, they just make continuous bad choices. But like the disease of addiction, the disease of obesity is so much more complicated than that and so much more biological than just a person, you know, saying, well, you know, making bad decisions, which is a good thing because a lot of the shame and the stigma around addiction and around obesity are about that. And the thing is, when people don't understand these diseases, either experience them firsthand or live in a family where there is addiction or obesity and a number of other diseases as well, they can't understand it because it doesn't make sense. It's like if alcohol is causing you problems, then quit drinking it. If food is causing you problems, then quit eating so much. And we know that it's not at all that simple. But it's very difficult to understand if you haven't experienced it or worked in the field or lived with family members. So when we talk about the disease of obesity, here's kind of how they came up with this. And this is information by the OMA, which is Obesity Medical Association. You know, they talk about there are biological reasons and there are some political reasons, I think, that obesity was categorized as being a disease. But the Obesity Medical Association says that treating obesity as a disease brings many benefits, right? And thank goodness, because anybody suffering from this disease understands it's complex. The benefits of treating obesity as a disease are that medical schools are going to have more training about it. And thank goodness, because how long have people who have suffered from the disease of obesity been treated so poorly by physicians and people in the medical community? So now that it's categorized as a disease, there's a lot better training in medical schools and in residency programs. So physicians are becoming more aware and hopefully treating the people who have the disease with less animosity or disgust. And it, you know, any physician who still does that, you know, find yourself somebody else to work with. But another benefit of obesity being classified as a disease is that it does reduce the stigma by the public and hopefully by people in the medical profession. Also, there's improved insurance benefits to getting treatment for the disease. And clearly, as it becomes more of a, it's known more in the medical community and they're treating it more, there's going to be more funds for research, which is good. And a lot of people are now using the GLP-1 receptor agonists, which is this new category of obesity medicines. And if we talk about obesity as a disease, the public responds better. And the public has long thought of, okay, if people have a disease, then there's got to be a medication to treat it. And this can also help people understand and take away the stigma from those who struggle with obesity. Because clearly, if it's a disease, we need a lot of different avenues. It's a complex, we need a multidisciplinary approach, which is good. And that also includes addressing lifestyle factors. So this lifestyle factor piece is still a big part of the disease concept. The Centers for Disease Control, here's how they define chronic, chronic disease. So I would, well, there's a very fancy definition of it or not, but here's the CDC's definition. It's a condition that lasts 1 year or more, requires ongoing medical attention, or limits at, or the disease limits your activities of daily living. So what they say, the CDC, is the three leading chronic diseases are heart attack or heart disease, cancer, and type 2 diabetes. Now, obesity clearly is associated with heart disease, obesity's associated with cancer, and type 2 diabetes. These are all chronic diseases. So there's widespread consequences of obesity when compared to people who are not considered to be overweight for these health conditions. And all of these things are causes of death, right? In addition, there's stroke, hypertension, the diabetes, of course. So it's a big, big concern. But the fact that they determined and classified obesity as a disease is positive on a lot of fronts. Now, there were some people who, you know, stood up and raised their fists and said, "What are you doing? Why are you calling this a disease?" And some of the concerns that were related to calling obesity a disease are mentioned in this article by the Obesity Medical Association, which I will cite in the podcast show notes. But what they said is, patients with diseases can receive recommendations for diet or lifestyle changes. So that's true with diabetes. It's true with stroke. It's true with heart attack. It's true with cancers. You know, lifestyle, how much you eat, what kinds of food you eat, whether or not you get physical activity, that's kind of prescribed for most chronic diseases, right? So these things, some of the people who were upset about obesity being called a disease, it's like nutrition and exercise are critically important, whether we call obesity a disease or not. And they're saying a doctor may wish to avoid calling obesity a disease if they believe it could give the patient a sense that the choices do not matter to their health. And that's kind of what I was saying initially. So in this article by the Obesity Medical Association, they're saying some people were like hesitant to call it a disease because then people would say, well, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, you can say, I got to do this, I got to do that, but it's a disease. What am I supposed to do? I'll tell you a funny story about one of my sisters. Her husband had a serious prescription drug addiction. And she was all up in arms about, you know, his disease and his addiction and why isn't he going to meetings and why isn't he, you know, making more of an effort and why isn't he doing this and why isn't he doing that? And he, you know, he's responsible for treating his disease. And then, I'm not kidding you, 5 minutes later, we were talking about her smoking in her apartment where smoking was forbidden. So here she is talking about her husband and why isn't he doing more to treat his disease of addiction. 5 minutes later, I'm like, what are you doing smoking in this apartment? You're going to get yourself kicked out. And here was her response. Well, it's an addiction. Like, I can't really help it. I can't help but smoke. I have an addiction. I'm like, oh my God, talk about talking out of both sides of your mouth. You're complaining about your husband and not doing more for his addiction. And then you're using your addiction as your excuse. Well, I can't possibly not smoke in my apartment. It's an addiction. And that's the fear. That's the fear, I think, that some people have. And I think some physicians have. And in some sense, I have too, because I know we hear what we want to hear. And if somebody says, well, you have a disease, then you're like, well, what am I, you know, I already covered that at the beginning. And that can be a real concern, especially when what we want to hear is, well, I can't help it. And that's only partially true. You can't help some of it, but you can help other parts of it. And that's also my concern, which I mentioned in the last episode, of people saying it's not your fault. No, having the condition, the disease is not your fault. What you do about it is 100% your responsibility. So in that same article, when they were talking about some of the concerns related to calling obesity a disease, they cited a paper that was published in 2020. So not that long ago. It was published in Perspectives in Psychological Science. And they talked about this. And here's how it opened. The United States suffers high rates of preventable lifestyle disease, despite widespread calls for people to take responsibility for their health. And what they said in this article is the authors link these attitudes to everything from the self-help publishing industry to parks and rec departments. So I don't know exactly what that had to do with anything, but if we tell people that you have a preventable lifestyle disease and we're saying take more responsibility for your health, that can cause a little bit of an uproar because you can have the predisposition for the disease and you're not responsible for that. But like diabetes, some diabetes is preventable. Some heart disease is preventable. Some strokes are preventable. How? By managing your weight, by not drinking a lot of alcohol, by getting exercise. So are we responsible or are we not responsible? Well, I say both. That's what I say. So here's how, now buckle your seatbelts for this one, because this has a lot of big old words in it, right? The Obesity Medicine Association says obesity is a, and I quote, chronic, relapsing, multifactorial, neurobehavioral disease, wherein an increase in body fat promotes adipose tissue dysfunction, are you bored yet? And abnormal fat mass, physical forces, resulting in adverse metabolic, biochemical, and psychosocial health consequences. Well, that's just way too much for me. But what it means is it's affecting your brain, your physiology, it's multifactorial. It affects a lot of different bodily systems and it affects your mental health. All right. So I want to explain this a little bit. And these are not my words. Again, I will link this article, but it made a lot of sense to me. And sometimes we don't quite understand the physiology, and this is in real layman's terms, so it's not all fancy like that last one that none of us could understand. It says people who have the disease of obesity have an increased accumulation of fat, right? But the thing is, it's not always attributable to eating too many calories or not getting enough exercise. So that just shows to go you that it's not always how many calories in, how many calories burned. And if you've struggled with the disease of obesity and you've struggled to lose weight, you're like, no shit, Sherlock, right? So it's not always about eating too much or not exercising. But people who have this disease have impaired metabolic pathways. So they have their signals for hunger are a little bit disordered. Their signals for saying I'm full are a little bit disordered. And that state of fullness isn't like people's who don't have the disease. So there's a lot of mix up biologically. It's like, I feel hungry, but I just ate. I still feel hungry. No, do I? I can't tell. Am I full? I thought I was full, but I can't tell. So there's some crossed wires is how I like to think about it. And when you have the disease, that has those crossed wires have nothing to do with how many calories you're taking in or how many you're burning. It's not just about calories in and calories out. So for people with the disease, when they try to lose weight and their body's absolutely not cooperating, their body's resisting, they get frustrated. And if you have the disease of obesity and you've really done that, and I have worked with so many people who I know are working really hard in terms of what they eat, how much they eat, the kind of food they take in, the portion sizes, and they are exercising, their body's just not cooperating. That is absolutely frustrating, and that is about the disease. So in this article, they say, according to the University of Michigan School of Medicine, 90% of people who lose weight will regain most of it. That's not a surprise to any of you who have had that cycle. You lose the weight, then you regain it. You lose the weight, then you regain it. Part of that is the disease process metabolically. Part of that may or may not, because I don't know you and I don't know what you're eating. Part of it may or may not be about the choices that you're making, et cetera, et cetera. And clearly we know there's not just one cause for obesity. We know it's not just calories in, calories burned. There are subtypes. I didn't know this, and I'm reading this right out of this article, but there are subtypes of obesity, including congenital, stress-induced obesity, menopause-related obesity, and then one that's called MC4R deficient. Don't even ask because I have no idea. So there's a lot of other categories. So it's related to genetic. We know this. Psychological. That's something we can work on. Physical, metabolic, neurological, and hormonal impairments. So many factors. You're not responsible for all of those, but you can make a disease in some of those also. Now, as we know, obesity is related to lots and lots of health conditions, but which came first? They're kind of, some of them came first, and then obesity may make them worse. Sometimes you have the obesity first and that causes the other illnesses. But we have to look at the disease of obesity from all of those aspects. So you can't control your genetics. We know this. You can't control some of the hormones. You can't control other medical diseases that you might have. You know, you may have polycystic ovarian syndrome. You may have Cushing's disease. You may have other diseases that affect your ability to lose weight. You may have metabolic issues. You may have gut hormone issues. You may have issues with some of these neurotransmitters. Those things are going to be really hard for you to control. But to the extent that what you eat contributes to your weight, to the extent that the quantity of the food you put into your mouth affects your weight, to the extent that the time that lapses between the amount or between the times you eat food, these are things that you can influence. And so when we treat the disease of obesity, and if you choose to have weight loss surgery, that is working on some of those hormonal, biological, neurotransmitter kinds of things. So that the surgery is helping with those issues. But the surgery cannot change what you choose to put in your mouth. And what you choose to put in your mouth, when you choose to put it in your mouth, how much of it you choose to put it in your mouth, and the quality of what you're putting in your mouth, along with how much sleep you get, how you manage your stress, whether or not you move, whether or not you skip meals, whether or not you're drinking the water instead of a bunch of sugary drinks. You know, those kinds of things you do have responsibility for. So, like I said in the last episode, what are you going to focus on? We know that obesity is a multifaceted disease, and that's not an excuse not to do the things that you can. If you, let's say you have diabetes, but you don't have extra weight, you're still responsible for your lifestyle. You're still responsible for eating foods that aren't going to make your diabetes worse. You're still responsible for getting exercise to help maintain your weight at a place where it won't make diabetes worse. I don't know much about diabetes, so I'm kind of making some of this stuff up. But I do know that lifestyle is critically important also in the disease of diabetes. Let's say a person has heart disease and yet they're not overweight. Lifestyle is still a factor. So diet, not going on a diet, but what you put into your body, diet and exercise are factors associated with many, many, many chronic diseases. And so regardless of your disease or diseases plural, maintaining a healthy lifestyle is really important to your overall health. So if you have the disease of obesity and or any of those other chronic diseases, then to some degree, you are not responsible at all. To some degree, you are not at fault. But to some degree, you do play a part. And so my plea to everybody, whether your disease is addiction, whether your disease is obesity, whether your disease is heart disease or diabetes or blood pressure or whatever it is, I suffer from high blood pressure. My lifestyle does not exacerbate blood pressure problems, meaning I don't make it worse by my lifestyle. I don't drink alcohol. I don't smoke cigarettes. I exercise 4 or 5 or more days a week. I eat a very healthy, I eat very healthy meals. I eat like a bariatric patient because I think it's a very wise way to eat. Every 3 to 4 hours, starting with protein, not a lot of junk food, not a lot of processed food, not a lot of fried food. So I have the disease of hypertension. If I were negligent about my lifestyle, then it would be worse. So I can't help the fact that genetically I am predisposed and have the disease of hypertension. But I can greatly influence whether I make that worse or I keep it at bay as best I can through my lifestyle. The exact same thing is true when it comes to the disease of obesity. There's so much of this that you cannot control. If you're a woman, you're going to go through menopause. You can't control that your body changes dramatically. And my good friend Laura Preston sent me a link to a podcast by Mel Robbins, where she had one of the country's foremost experts on menopause. I would encourage you to listen to that and how even though your body weight may stay the same, which happened for Mel Robbins and also for myself, the number on the scale hasn't changed, but I'm telling you, the weight distribution is very different. I have given away over 30 pairs of pants that no longer fit me because now I have a little bit of a belly, which I didn't in the past. So my weight is distributed differently through no fault of my own. Age, hormones, menopause, it's the way it is. So I can fight and stomp my feet and, you know, wail and gnash my teeth, but that's reality. I have to accept that that is what is going to happen. And not get all caught up in, oh my God, I have to change this. I can't change that. Just like you cannot change your DNA, you cannot change your predisposition for the disease of obesity. You maybe cannot change some of the other like PCOS or other metabolic issues you have. So you have to kind of accept that. And when it comes to what we talked about in the last episode, is that you know, you kind of have to accept that you have this, you have to accept the facts. You have to accept that you have the disease. And then when it comes to comparing that to this goal weight thing, right? You can't use the disease, which legitimately causes you struggles in losing weight, but then expect to get to this magical goal weight. So you can't use it as an excuse and turn around and say, I expect to get to a body weight that my body won't let me do. You understand when you use it from the disease perspective that you got this thing that's fighting against you. And that's why you were never the size of the other girls in high school. Which is true. It's legit. It makes sense. But you can't also expect them to turn around and have your body that has the same disease that's working against you to get you to this unreasonable goal weight that you expect to get to. So I really want to hone in on that for one thing. But also, these personal choices. this disease is what it is, whether this disease is obesity or hypertension or heart disease or diabetes or PCOS or whatever it is, you have the disease. And a lot of people don't like the phrase, it is what it is, but it is. It is what it is. You have it, like it or not. You've got it. And you've got to figure out how you can best utilize the things you have control over or influence over to minimize the effects and the negative effects of that disease. You've got to accept that you're going to have limitations. I have to accept that I am on blood pressure medication because I've got that disease, but I have a choice then whether to drink alcohol, engage in a lot of fatty foods, not do any exercise. All those things are going to make my hypertension worse. Or I have the choice to exercise, not drink alcohol, not eat a lot of fatty foods. You know, I do those things because I value my health and I don't want to make this disease that I can't control worse, that I can control. All right. So you have the choice to do what is shown to be effective, given whatever chronic disease you have. And when you have the chronic disease of obesity, there are some things you can do to manage the disease as best you can, given the limitations that your body is going to forever work against you because it is a multifactorial disease. But if you don't do what's proven to be effective, then own it. Say, I'm not doing it. I don't want to do it. And quit your bitching. I bought these really cute t-shirts for myself. And when I take the kids camping, I say, welcome to camp. Quit your bitching. You know, there's bugs. You're right. We're camping. Oh, there's sand in my food. You're right. We're camping. Oh, this bed isn't soft. You're right. We're camping. I have the disease of obesity. My body's working against me. You're right. You have a disease. I have a disease of obesity and it works against my body to lose weight, but I want to have this magical goal weight. Ain't going to happen. So accept what is. Deal with the reality and then do the work or don't do the work. Do the work that has been shown to be effective so that you have a fighting chance against this disease that is going to work against you, right? So do the work or don't do the work, but accept the facts. You've got a chronic disease. A lot of it you can't do anything about, but there are things you can. So the question becomes, are you willing to or not? Do you want to or not? And here are the things that you can do to help work against the disease that's fighting you. Your sleep, hugely correlated with maintaining a healthier weight. Are you making sure you get enough sleep? Make sure you get enough sleep. For the vast majority of us, that is something that is within our control. I understand there are jobs that make that difficult. I get that. But if this is something that you do have control over, are you taking control over it? Are you stepping up and being responsible? Are you using your personal responsibility to get as much sleep as you need? Because a lack of sleep is correlated with an increased weight. Do you manage your stress? If you have a high stress life, which most of us do, and we don't put forth the effort to manage that through meditation, through breathing, through mindfulness activities, through what kind of movement we do, things that will reduce our stress. If you've got high stress and you're not doing anything about it, then quit your bitching. And if you've got high stress and you're not doing anything about it, you can expect your weight to increase because you've already got the disease of obesity, which is fighting you. and working against you, and you're not doing what you can for one of the factors that you could control. Food choices. And this is where it started in this group, because I asked the woman, are you thinking that having the disease of obesity means you don't have to take responsibility for your food choices? And are they correlated? And yeah, there is some science to show that some of the biological issues related to the disease of obesity increase your desire for those high satiety foods, the ones with the more fat, the ones that have the more sugar, the ones that are more highly processed. So even though the disease of obesity can lead to craving more of those foods, you have the choice to keep those foods in your house or not. You have the choice to drive through the drive-through or not. You have the choice to go into the break room where all the junk food is, or to stay away from it. You have the choice to allow, you have the choice to give into those things, or you can assume a mindset of personal responsibility to keep that stuff as far away from you as possible. Yeah, it's all around. I get that. I know that. Now, if you have an addiction to food, that's a whole nother topic. And you're more susceptible to give into the cravings if you don't treat your addiction. So if you have the disease of obesity and the disease of addiction, now you got two things working against you, and you have to make the choice about what you're going to do to get the treatment you need for the two separate diseases. So for the sake of this talk, we're not talking about food addiction. We're just talking about the fact that, yeah, there are some things related to the disease of obesity can make highly palatable foods more alluring. And we know that companies are producing these foods to give you that high dopamine hit. And that's where the addiction piece comes in. If you've got the predisposition to addiction, then that might come into play too. But for everybody who eats those kinds of foods that are highly processed, that have a lot of sugar, that have a lot of fat, that have a lot of salt and fat together, or sugar and fat, or sugar and salt and fat, those things, boom, 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 like ding, 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 goes the dopamine in our brain, and we want more and more and more of it. But guess what? You don't have to engage in eating those foods. That is where personal responsibility comes in. So are you taking personal responsibility for your sleep? Are you taking personal responsibility for managing your stress? Are you taking personal responsibility? These are things you have influence over, can control. The food choices that you allow to be around you, for the safety of your own environment. What about your movement? You are responsible for, you have the choice to engage in physical activity. So do you do it or don't you? You have the ability to eat on a regular schedule. Do you take responsibility, or do you say, I'm not a breakfast eater, or I just don't have time? Here's where it gets complicated, right? I have a disease, but do I take responsibility for managing that disease? Do I take responsibility for managing the things that will calm a disease that's never going to go away? Or do I say, oh, well, and then the disease rages on in a more fierce way because you don't take that responsibility? The gotta do them. So are you drinking the water? Are you taking the vitamins? Do you treat other diseases you have? You know, you don't have responsibility for having this disease. You do have responsibility for whether or not you treat it as best you can. And if you're not, then you need to ask yourself, what's up with that? If you're not, doing the gotta do ems, if you're not learning the tools to help you increase motivation, to help manage stress, to help learn better communication skills, to learn to set boundaries, if you're not learning more and taking full responsibility, are you going to use your disease as an excuse? Yeah, it's a fight. It's a fight. It's hard. Your disease will continue to work against you. And you have every capability of fighting back. And you've been told time and again the areas in which you need to put forth additional effort. Whether or not you do those things, yeah, that's your responsibility. So if you think that having the disease of response or the disease of obesity lets you off the hook for the things you can influence, you're wrong. Does it lead to compassion? It should, by yourself and other people, including the public, including your family, including mental and physical healthcare practitioners, to the fact that this isn't about not having self-will. It isn't about, you know, just being, you know, the things that people say, lazy or you don't care or you eat all the time. It's not about those things. But there are factors, friends. There are factors over which you do have the ability to be, you are able to respond, responsibility. Able to respond. Are you doing it? So some take-home messages. If you've got the disease of obesity, you need to accept that there are things you can't change and don't have influence over. Those same things you can't control or have influence over are likely the reasons your body's never going to get to that number you may consider to be your goal weight. And may also be the reasons, valid reasons for sure, that you have been unable to get weight off in the past. But I hope it helps you make sense that you've got a disease that works against you in so many ways that has prevented you from being able to lose weight in the past. It's not, surgery isn't automatically going to take that disease away from you so you get to some unrealistic goal weight. Also, remember, you can't use those truly valid reasons that you struggle with your weight because of this disease to legitimize not taking responsibility for the things that you can. So, one thing I learned in treatment 35 years ago is I'm only responsible. I'm going to repeat this several times. I'm only responsible for the effort that I put into whatever I do. I'm not responsible for the outcome. I'm only responsible for the effort I put into whatever I do. So I am responsible for the effort I put into following the gotta do ems, doing the bariatric basics, eating like I've been taught. I'm responsible for the effort that I put into doing those things. And when I do all of those things, I'm not responsible for if I get to, you know, whatever weight my body lands at, it lands at, because I have a disease. I'm only responsible for the effort I put into whatever I do. I am responsible for keeping my household free of trigger foods. I am responsible for not walking into the break room if I know there's trigger foods in there. I am responsible for getting sleep. I am responsible for making time in my schedule to exercise. I am responsible for drinking the water and taking the vitamins, doing the gotta do ems. So, obesity is a disease. It's never going to leave you. It's going to stay with you. It's going to fight against you, especially if you've chosen to have bariatric surgery after those first 2 years. If you choose to take GLPs and you ever go off of them, that disease is still active and present in your life. The lifestyle you choose, and again, lifestyle is more than eating and exercising. It's how you communicate. It's how you choose to live your life. It's all those things. But in the context of your weight, a lot of the lifestyle is about what goes into your mouth, when it goes into your mouth, how much of it goes into your mouth, and whether or not you move your body. Those things are your responsibility. So I'm going to follow up next week. Our next episode is going to be about that exact thing, responsibility, and taking personal responsibility, and what hinders people from taking personal responsibility. So we're going to talk about how to improve making healthy personal choices and doing what you can do to help you manage this chronic disease of obesity. So please share this episode with anybody who struggles with weight, regardless of whether they're having surgery or taking GLPs or doing fad diets or whatever they're doing, which, by the way, fad diets are going to mess up your metabolism in all kinds of ways and work against you with this whole disease process. So, there's a lot more to say about the disease of obesity, and I would really encourage you to read the articles that I'm going to post in the notes. So I hope you'll do that and learn more about this disease. And join me again for the next episode of Berry Aftercare, the podcast. And please hear me when I say I very much appreciate you spending your time with me. And I know you could be doing a lot of other things. So taking the time to listen to this podcast is definitely a way you are showing personal responsibility and doing for yourself something that you can do to manage the disease that you have. All right, I'll see you next time. And remember, we're talking about your health and your responsibility this day and every day. Bye-bye. Thanks so much for listening to today's episode of Berry Aftercare, the podcast. The information shared on this podcast is considered psychoeducation and does not constitute therapy or a therapeutic relationship. Be sure to check out all the great information I provide, much of it free, by visiting my website at www.ConnieStapletonPhD.com. Be sure to leave your positive comments for this podcast and listen in next week to learn more ways to live your best post-op life.